tonight, but just from the Buffalo News, every Sunday they have a science page where they talk about something being millions and millions of years old, dinosaurs being 65 million years, and they throw these numbers around factually without any explanation whatsoever. Did you ever think of that? Can anything last 65 million years? Can anything last 4.5 billion years? Here's the first two laws. This is not on your note yet, but these are the first two laws of thermodynamics. Law number one is this. This is a law. This isn't a theory or a hypothesis. This is science. This is real science. You know, we're not afraid of real science. We love real science. Real science is just simply knowledge that is based on experiment or observation. That's all it is. We love real scientists. Creationist Christian, we're not the least bit afraid of real science. It strengthens our faith. It's just knowledge based on experiment or observation. We believe in the law of gravity. Why? We can show it. If I drop this pen, what's going to happen? It's going to be pulled to the ground by a big iron magnet inside of this planet called, and that's going to be called gravity. Now, if I do that a million times, I will be able to observe that pen falling 1 million times. That's science. Knowledge based on observation or experiment. We're not afraid of that at all. The theory of evolution isn't even a good hypothesis. It really isn't. It shouldn't be called science, and yet it is. And it'll be taught in your schools, in your town this year. There's six types of evolution, so they say, in this theory. And I have this on your sheet here. There's cosmic evolution, which we're going to basically deal with tonight, which regards the origin of time, space, matter. In other words, what they call the Big Bang. The Big Bang. The Big Bang theory is wild. Let me read it for you. It began with a Belgian astronomer named George Edward Lemaître. In 1894, he was born. He died in 1966. Bolton David Heiser wrote this observation about the Big Bang theory. According to Isaac Asimov, Lemaître conceived this mass to be no more than a few light years in diameter. Now, what they say here is that somehow this mass existed, and the diameter of it was a few light years in diameter. It was just there. Just mass was there a few light years, if you could measure it, from one end to the other. At the very least, that would be 2 light years, or about 12 trillion miles. By 1965, that figure was reduced to 275 million miles for the total mass. By 1972, it was reduced to 71 million miles. By 1974, to 54,000 miles. By 1983, the mass that exploded in the Big Bang was reduced to, quote, a trillionth the diameter of a proton. Let me just illustrate. When you look at your Bible and you read a sentence, at the end of a sentence is a period. The Big Bang theory says that all mass was condensed into an area smaller than the period on the page of your Bible. And it blew up, and that's where everything came into being. Everything came from nothing. And then he concludes with this, and now to nothing at all. I can show you textbooks that where it says everything came out of nothing. Nothing exploded. Nothing exploded. That is in science books that are being taught to first graders, second graders, third graders, fourth graders, and so on and so forth. And remember, he that is first in a cause seemeth just. You got to undo that. It's like teaching a kid about Santa Claus. He's going to believe you when he's 1 or 2 or 3 years of age. Then he comes and searches it out later in life. So the theory at first said there was about 2 trillion or 12 trillion miles of mass But then we reduced it down to less than a dot on a piece of paper. And that's all there was ever, and then it just blew up. And from that Big Bang, we have all the universe, and then eventually the development and evolution of this planet called the Earth. As a result of that, an honest scientist named Sir Frederick Hoyle, an astronomer, cosmologist, mathematician from Cambridge University, said this in Science Digest magazine, quote, "I have little hesitation in saying a sickly pall hangs over the Big Bang theory." He says it sounds like a sick theory. It's basically what he's saying. That's their theory. Everything came out of nothing. We believe everything came out of God's voice. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be earth." There was a, you know what the second law, the first law of thermodynamics is this: matter and or energy cannot be created or destroyed. Cannot be created or destroyed. Here's the second law of thermodynamics. Again, this is a law of science. This is true science. We believe this. We love this. Everything tends towards disorder. It's called entropy. Everything tends towards decay and disorder. If that's not true, look at your hair in the morning. Look at the roof on your house after 20 years. Look at your garden if you do not weed it. Look at your lawn if you do not mow it. All right, look at any building. Look at your automobile if you do not maintain it. Everything tends towards disorder and decay if you leave it alone. That's called entropy. That's the second law of thermodynamics, which, by the way, young people understand this. That is the very opposite of evolution. Evolution says things are getting better and better and better and better and better. More and more and more advanced. Survival of the fittest. Entropy says, by law, everything's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and decaying, which means the planet we're on, for instance. Now, I want to give you about 12 things tonight. Fill these in on your sheet here where as we go along. And again, this is not like really a spiritual message tonight, but it's just something I want you to understand because these are things I had to struggle with when I was a teenager. These are things that for several years overthrew my faith in the Bible, in my pastor, overthrew my faith in my father and what he was teaching me, my Sunday school teacher, and so on. And I ended up just forming an opinion while they were just ignorant religionists and so on. These scientists know better than them. So I have to study out some things myself. You know, it's a very good discipline for you to find out what you believe and why you believe it. I mean, thank God for pastors, Sunday school teachers, and so on and so forth. There are shepherds. We need them. Stay underneath one all of your life. But there needs to come a day when you're going to have your own faith. Secondhand faith is not going to get you through when your faith is tried and when you come across people who believe in this. I want to give you 12 things here just to think about, simple things that make us cast tremendous doubt on the theory that this earth is 4.6 billion years old, or 4.5 billion as they said. You know, what's a billion anyway, or you know, 100 million, or what's that? When it comes to, it's amazing how they throw these numbers around like they're nothing. Number one, the sun is getting smaller. I'll bring my globe up here, whoever has it. The sun is getting smaller. You know that? The sun is a star. It's losing mass and diameter. Thank you. The sun is a star that's losing mass and diameter. Changing the mass of the sun would upset the fine gravitational balance that keeps the Earth at just the right distance from it. Now, we know the Earth's burning up. We know it's getting smaller. The sun, rather, is burning up. We know it's getting smaller. How long has that been happening? Has that been happening for a million years? How big was it? 10 million? 100 million? 4.6 billion? How big was the sun at one time if we know it's burning up? It would have been so big that no life on earth would have been able to evolve. It would just fry this, it would have melted this earth. The fact that the sun is getting smaller can be justified with thousands of years, but not millions. Not millions. It'd be way too big for this earth and the distance we are from it to sustain life. You think it was hot this summer? Imagine what it was like a million years ago. If there was a million years ago and how big the sun was. Number two, the earth is slowing down. The earth is slowing down in its revolutions. Here's a globe. Whoops, this was not going to work. I had one at Bible school that spun for a long time. The earth is spinning at an unbelievable rate of speed. At the equator, the earth is spinning at a speed of 1,000 miles per hour. Yet it seems like we're standing still, doesn't it? Seem like we're standing still? You would not believe the rate or speed we're spinning at. And yet the earth is slowing down in its revolutions. The speed of the earth is slowing down. So question, if we went backwards, we could conclude it was once going faster. How fast was it going a million years ago? How fast was it going 10 million years ago? A billion years ago? Or let's just throw 4.5 billion years in there. How fast was the earth revolving? These are questions that ought to be asked the evolutionist. These are questions I'm trying to arm you with tonight. To ask them this question about cosmic evolution. Number three, the Earth's magnetic core is getting weaker. The Earth's magnetic core is getting weaker. At the core of the Earth is an iron magnet. That's why you are staying in your seats right now and not floating away. It's called gravity. And we know that the strength of the gravitational pull of the earth is getting weaker and weaker and weaker, which means, again, if we go back in time, how strong was it? If we go back a million years, it would be so strong you would not be able to lift your foot. Run, skateboard, rollerblade, anything. Wouldn't be able to function. The Earth's magnetic core is getting weaker. Number four, the moon is getting farther away from the Earth. As the Earth's magnetic core is weakening, the moon is getting farther away from the Earth. Now, this moon is spinning around the Earth all the time. Very important to us. But it's getting farther and farther away as the gravitational pull of the Earth diminishes. Question. How close was the moon then once? If the Earth was millions of years old. Did you know that if the moon was much closer at all than it is to us right now, see, the moon, by its gravitational pull and its going around the Earth, pulls the oceans in at night and out in the evening and so on and so forth. It's called the tides. It's called the tides. The tides, if the moon had been closer, would have been so great it would have flooded the continents constantly. So any life that may have been evolving would have been flooded constantly and had to start over and over and over again. The moon is exactly where God needs it to be. pull the oceans into their boundaries that he has established, and to let them go back out. It's a miracle. It's just an absolute miracle. And there is no way it can justify millions and millions of years. The moon would be too close to us. And by the way, if going back to the last point, if the Earth was a million years old or 10 million years old, its gravitational core would have been so strong it would have pulled the moon down to the Earth, as well as all kinds of other cosmic dust and meteors and so on and so forth. This Earth would have looked like a teenager with acne, having had all kinds of things, and without the moon. If the moon would have been drawn into the Earth and hit the Earth, no life could have evolved. Are you thinking tonight? We're talking about science tonight. We're talking about facts. We're talking about the effects they have. The moon also is a magnet. Still talking on number four here. The moon's a magnet itself. The moon has a core that has a gravitational pull feel to it. When I was a kid, we sent a man to the moon. His name was Neil Armstrong. He came from Pastor Seth's hometown. Where's Pastor Seth? There he is, right? Wapakoneta, Ohio. Home of Neil Armstrong and Pastor Seth Garland. All right. Famous place. He landed on the moon. Remember, those, some of you that are older, remember when we landed on the moon? Remember that? What was the lunar module? What the thing was called? I forget the name of it. The Eagle? The Eagle has landed. And remember, it had like three legs to it. And at the base of the legs, they put these big, huge pads on it. Anybody remember why? Because they knew they were probably going to sink into 10 to 12 feet of moon dust. Why? Because those scientists were evolutionists. They believed that the Earth had been millions of years old, the moon was millions of years old, maybe billions of years old, and so they got their calculators out and they figured out, man, if that moon has been a magnet attracting cosmic dust for millions of years, then we better put some really big pads on the Eagle, because when it lands, it's probably going to sink into all this dust pretty far, 10 to 12 feet, they estimated. When they landed, what happened? They landed on a half an inch of moon dust and then hit solid rock, which justifies a few thousand years, but not millions. I think that's a good argument. The moon is getting farther away from the Earth. How close was it once? Number five, the salt in the ocean is getting greater. 4% of our ocean is now salt. It didn't always used to be that high. Percentage. In fact, you can't even drink the water there now because the oceans are becoming salt. How do they become salty? Runoff from erosion, rain, rivers and streams and lakes pouring themselves into the ocean. It's getting saltier and saltier and saltier. We know it's getting saltier and saltier. But you know, if you reverse that trend, you can't come up with but a few thousand years of salt going into the ocean. If at the rate that the salt content of the ocean is growing, if this Earth had been a million years old or millions of years of age, most of the ocean would be salt now. But it's only 4%. It's only 4%. Number six, the mountain and hills are eroding. Have you ever noticed in your town the creeks, the rivers, when it rains like crazy, they turn brown? Why does the creek near your house turn brown after it really pours out? It's called erosion. It's like if we piled up a big pile of sand here in front of the pulpit and I took a sprinkling can and just ran the water over the top of the mountain of sand, what would the effect be? Erosion. The mountain would be getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Question, how big were the mountains once? How big were the hills once? They've been eroding since the beginning of time, since at least rain, since Noah's day. Somebody figured out that the maximum that this earth could take right now in erosion is 14 million years, and then the whole earth would be ocean level. But the evolutionists are saying this earth is already 4.6 billion years. Would not the hills and mountains all be eroded by now? Number 7. The Niagara Falls Gorge is going backwards. This is a close one. You can go up in an hour and watch this. Every year it goes back 7 to 8 feet. And it's been doing that as long as they've kept records of it. If it began at the beginning of the gorge, the maximum time that would have taken to erode back to where it is today is 8,400 years. It's the maximum amount of time, 8,400 years. Niagara Falls Gorge is going backwards. Number 8, population statistics indicate a young Earth. Notice the chart on the opposite side. There's a big article there, and I don't know whether you agree with all of it or not, or I just copied it as it was, but I want you to see the chart, population statistics. Notice in 2000 there was about 6 billion people on Earth. Today they say there's 6.5, 6.7, we don't know. Back in 1985, 5, that's when most of you were born, it was 5 billion. When I was born in 57, there was about 2.5 billion people on Earth. As you follow these statistics back at the rate of growth, at the birth rate of the human race, you'll find that the first human beings were on Earth about 4,400 years ago. And that's exactly where the story of the 8 survivors of Noah's flood comes in, about 4,400 years ago. Exactly. Well, there were a bunch of people before the flood. We don't know how many. But if you go back 4,400 and put 8 people here and they begin to reproduce at a normal birth rate, you would come up to about what we have today, about 6.7 billion people. I like the statement at the bottom. If man were just 3 million years old, and that's what they say we are, they say the universe is 16.5 billion, the earth is 4.6 billion, and then it cooled down and all this stuff, and finally a little cell came out of some slime, and you know the story. A bunch of monkeys decided to turn into humans about 3 million years ago. If that was true, if humans were around on this earth for 3 million years, at current birth rates, there would be 150,000 people per square inch on this earth. And we ought to be able to at least find a whole bunch of bones around somewhere. A few other things now. Number 9, the oldest coral reef is 4,200 years old. Imagine that. The oldest living tree we know, number 9 or 10, is 4,300 years old. Imagine that. The Bible says in that flood, all living things died. This is interesting. The oldest written history, number 11, was written about 2,500 B.C., If man's been around for 3 million years, as the theory of evolution says, did he just figure out how to write? 4,000, 5,000 years, and then those writings were advanced Hebrew poetry? Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, some of the oldest writings. Job, advanced Hebrew poetry. He went from not knowing how to write anything to advanced Hebrew poetry. Maybe there's no written history. I think the oldest written history is that Hiram Abiba stone, whatever it is, that survived the flood. It was from 2500 B.C. We're about 2,000 years past. About 4500 B.C. is the oldest written history we know of. It's the oldest written history we know of, 4,500 years old. Maybe there's none earlier than that because there wasn't anything earlier than that. I challenge you to find some history from 7,000 years ago, 8,000 years ago, written history, names, places, people, events. Find some. There's none out there. The Mississippi River Delta is an interesting example, I think, of a young earth. It's filling up with mud, you know. It's filling up with silt. The Mississippi River is a filthy river, and it's forever pouring silt and mud into the delta. The size of the delta divided by the rate that the mud is being deposited gives an age of less than 30,000 years. And there's other things too. The Sahara Desert has been growing and getting larger for 4,000 years. We know that. That's a fact. That's science. We're not afraid of true science. But what if the earth was older than that? Older than thousands of years? The Sahara Desert should be a whole lot bigger than it is. And so I just wanted to kind of jog your thinking tonight to get you to see some things here. Here's 12 things I just wanted to arm you with. And this is just about cosmic evolution. Notice on your sheet there's different kinds of theories. There's chemical evolution, the origin of higher elements from hydrogen. I don't have time to talk about that, but that doesn't make sense. Stellar and planetary evolution, the origin of stars and planets. No one has ever seen a star form. Martin Harwit in Science Magazine said this, "The silent embarrassment of modern astrophysics is that we do not know how even a single one of these stars managed to form." We do by faith. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God said, and it was. Organic evolution is really the funniest of the whole bunch. The origin of life, how did life form from non-living matter? Their theory is that one cell came about from, there's no explanation, but somehow the earth just finally became an atmosphere good enough to sustain a cell. Maybe a lightning bolt hit some matter and it produced the first living cell. And then that living cell was in some slime or ooze that was just right atmosphere for it to survive, and it decided to divide. And the two cells decided to divide again into four, and the four to eight. And from that comes all the grass, all the trees, all the plants, all the flowers from that one cell, all the animal life, all the birds of the air, all the fish of the sea that we saw up here, all from that one cell. Remember what science is? Science is knowledge based on experiment and observation. Do this experiment. Take an advanced cell. They say that was a simple cell. Okay, take a complex one and separate it and put it by itself somewhere. And what's going to happen to that cell? It's going to die. Try it again. It's going to die. Try it again. It's going to die. I mean a complex cell, isolated. Try it again. Try to put it in the best atmosphere you can put it in. What's going to happen to that complex cell? It's going to die. Do that experiment a million times. What's going to happen to those complex cells? A million times they're going to die when they're isolated. The whole theory is based on somehow a cell forming out of non-living matter that lived. All the things in the sea, all the things in the air, all the things on the earth came from that one cell. They're teaching that to kindergarten kids all over our country. First graders, second graders, third graders, fourth graders, fifth graders, advanced when you get to the university and college level. It all goes back to that. Young people, that's not science. And it's not. That's not science. The theory of evolution says, and I want to close, that there has been millions and millions and millions and millions of years of life and death and life and death and life and death and life and death and advancement. Survival of the fittest, evolution in the higher forms. Just billions of years of life and death. But the Bible says this in Romans 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death did not originate in evolution. Death originated when man sinned, and the wages of his sin was death. No plant ever died till man sinned. No tree in the forest ever got diseased and died till man sinned. No animal ever got sick and died or had to go to a veterinarian till man sinned. Man's sin brought death, not evolution. Not evolution. You got to decide what you believe and why you believe it. And this was just some pretty simple stuff here that I gave you tonight. But we are warned in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You see, we believe Christ made all things, and that by him all things consist. He holds it all together. In closing, it says in 2 Timothy 6 and verse 20. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. They had oppositions of science back then. The most advanced theory in Christ's day was there was 1,028 stars. Ptolemy came along later and said there was 1,056 stars. He found 28 more. But Bible believers back then believed that the stars were as the sands of the sea. You couldn't count them for number. And so there was a clash in Christ's day over whether the scriptures were true or whether the scientists were true. Truth always vindicates itself. And now we know that there are enough stars out there in the universe that every one of us could own 11 trillion of them, and there'd be plenty to spare for everybody else. The Bible is right. Ptolemy and the scientists of the day were wrong. And as time goes on, I believe this theory of evolution, those believing in evolution are actually becoming less and less and less as knowledge is being poured out into our society through many means that we have today. What are you going to believe? I hope you believe in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. This is a young earth. But what about things past that seem so old? God made them with age. God made Adam and Eve with age. God made the giraffes and the elephants and the bears and the cantaloupes with age and the trees and the grass. God made everything with age. So what? So what? If you walked up to Adam back then with a notebook and a pen and said, sir, how old are you? And he said, about 6 days old. He'd say, no, you look like more like you're 30. For no, I'm 6 days old. No, come on, that's stupid. No, you look like you're 30. No, I'm 6 days old. God just made me last Friday. You know what? He'd be telling the truth. And you say to Adam, how old is that bear over there? About 8 days old now. How about that tree? That's about 9 days old. He'd be telling the truth. even though the tree looked old, even though the giraffes and the bears looked old. See, people trip over the rocks, the geological columns, so to speak. They trip over that. They say, but these rocks seem to be millions of years old. Well, they might seem to be that, but maybe God just made them with age. And all that dating, anyways, that's been shown to be spurious science. Anyway, I don't have time to get into that. But listen, some of you, I don't know who you are, some of you, it might be God's will for some once in a while to go to a secular university or college. I understand that. It's rare. We got two veterinarians in our church, and the one young lady grew up in our church, went 18 years of age right into the secular. She just knew it was God's will for her to be a veterinarian. She's a veterinarian now, doing very well. Knows the Lord, loves the Lord, and so on and so forth. And once in a while, somebody has to maybe go into that to, who knows, whatever, learn law enforcement or medical science or something if God calls your legion to be a doctor. But you don't have to believe everything you're told. And it doesn't have to rattle your faith. Know what you believe, why you believe it. I gave you a few things there just to help your faith tonight. It helped me because I sure got jarred by that theory, and nobody was there to help me until I studied some things out on my own. This is a young earth. This is my Father's world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Let's just bow for prayer, and we're going to have refreshments, but we'll have the piano players come, and we'll have an invitation, of course, but we need to move on here. But let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, this world is not to glorify you as God. Lord, there's even Christians who want to come up with a gap theory or some other kind of a theory that takes away your glory, the glory that's due unto your name. Father, we believe you're so great, you could have made it all in 6 seconds if you wanted to. But you did it in 6 literal days. And Lord, we believe the scientific evidence shows that the earth is young. And maybe some scientists could debate one or two of these points, but not all of them. Not all of them. Lord, a lot of this isn't even science, it's just common sense. It's the second law of thermodynamics. Things are decaying. Things are becoming disorderly. And Lord, we're here to worship you tonight and to give you all the praise and all the glory for what you made in the beginning. And Lord, I pray we'd all leave here, and when we look at the trees and the skies and the stars and the birds and the moon and the creeks and the rivers and the mountains, that we would glorify God. And we would say, what a God. What a God. And Lord, we know creation is one of the 7 witnesses of God that preaches to every person in every language. And it's no wonder Satan has attacked it with his lies. He's the father of lies. Help us. Now, Lord, if there's anybody here tonight who's not saved, help them to be saved. If there's any Christian who's struggling with the theory of origins, I pray their faith would be strengthened tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What's the number? Let's turn to page 243 in our red books, and we'll just sing a song of invitation. And if you want to come and pray around this altar, feel free to come and pray. Maybe you got something on your heart completely unrelated, or you want to pray for someone you know needs prayer. Maybe you know an evolutionist or someone who's struggling or getting away from the Lord because of this, and you want to go to them and in a very good spirit. You want to maybe teach them some things you learned tonight. Come pray for that person as we begin to sing. If you need to be saved, there's room at the cross for you. Won't you come? Millions have come. There's still room for one. If you need to be saved, won't you come? Somebody will show you from the Bible how to be saved tonight. The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which, if you don't know for sure you're saved, that you're going to go to heaven someday when you die. Eternity is a long, long time. You can get that settled tonight by trusting in Christ as your Savior. If you'll come to the front here and let me know, I'll have somebody take the Bible. If you're a lady, a lady. If you're a man, I'll show you how you can be saved tonight, accept Christ as your Savior. There's room at the cross. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. was buried and rose again. Died on a cross at a place called Calvary. Shed his blood as your substitute to wash away your sins so you can be saved. But you must come to Jesus on the second. Though millions have found him a friend and have turned from the sins they have sinned, the Savior still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room. If you know someone that needs prayer, come to this altar. Pray for them tonight. Somebody who's struggling with evolution, come. Pray for them. God will help them see the truth of the Word of God. You come. Still have another verse. Come pray for someone. If you want someone to pray with you, let me know. You got something on your heart. You're brokenhearted tonight. You come. The hand of my Savior. Is your family falling apart? Your parents starting to split? Why don't you come pray for them? Pray for your parents tonight. Or pray for your pastor, your church to get stronger. Amen. Want to pray for our country. Man, our country's going down the wrong path in many ways. We need to pray. Feel free to come and pray. You got some brothers or sisters that are wayward tonight. Why don't you pray for them? I was wayward for 4 years. My dad prayed for me every day. I believe his prayers brought me back to Christ and to serve the Lord. Won't you pray?
Room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
As the pianos play, let us just bow our heads and close our eyes in a word of prayer. Maybe you're here tonight without Jesus. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He came from heaven to earth. God in a body. Born as a baby, lived a perfect sinless life. Never sinned once. Imagine that. Set an example for us. Preached and taught many things. Did miracles. Healed sick people. Raised the dead. Cast demons out of people. Amazing what Jesus did. Literally turned water into wine, fed thousands of people with just a few loaves and fishes. He showed by these signs that he was the Son of God. But ultimately, the main work he came for was one day he, as the Lamb of God, as the sacrificial Lamb of God, that Lamb without spot and blemish, he was sacrificed for us. Our sins were transferred onto the body of Jesus Christ. And instead of us dying and bearing the wrath of Almighty God that we deserve because of our sin, Christ took our place. Jesus died for you. He died for me. He tasted death for every man. Every person in this room caused Christ to die on a cross, to be slaughtered there, to die a violent death. He never did anything wrong. When man's sin cursed the earth, it brought thorns. And they took that curse and put it on his head, a crown of thorns. Christ became a curse for us. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? After he died on that cross, they put his dead body in a grave. But praise God, 3 days and three nights later, Christ rose from the grave and he's alive forevermore. He's the only one that ever rose from the grave and stayed alive forevermore. God putting his stamp of approval on Christ's sacrifice and showing us that now every human being can be justified from all things if you'll simply believe on him and receive him as your Savior. That is the need and the desire of your heart tonight. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe with all your heart, he died for you personally. If you're the only one that ever lived, he'd have died for you. If you'll call on him and receive him, the Bible says he'll come into your life and save you tonight. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, if that's the need of your soul tonight, then right where you're standing, not out loud, but maybe you could pray this prayer. No prayer can save you, but Jesus can if you call on him and say, Dear Heavenly Father, I call on your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to have mercy on my soul and save me. I am sorry for my sins. Jesus, I believe you are the Lord. I believe you shed your blood to wash away all my sins. I believe you died for me and rose from the grave. I accept you as my personal Savior. Please come into my heart and my life right now. Give me the gift of eternal life. Have mercy on me, Lord Jesus, I pray. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, we're going to go downstairs for refreshments, but just before we do, no one's looking besides myself. So glad tonight if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. I wonder if you could do this at least. I'll not call you out or embarrass you. I won't come near you or approach you or anything. I'd just like to know if you meant it tonight and you got this settled. For the first time in your life, you recall you really meant it tonight. You settled it. You just now, while I was praying, prayed to God from all your heart and trusted Christ as your Savior. If you've been saved tonight and you just accepted the Lord as your Savior, would you just raise your hand up? Real high. Thank you. God bless you. You may put your hand down. Anyone else? Raise your hand up real high. Let me see it real quick. And put your hand down. Say, God knows my heart. Here's my hand. I have asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior tonight. Anyone else? Raise your hand up real high. Let me see it. And take it down. Father, we thank you then for this decision. Help us, Lord. Help us to leave here with our faith stronger. Lord, by using apologetics, by using reason, by using science, that you in fact did create this earth, and this earth is young, this earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. And may we worship you as the creator, not Mother Earth or some evolutionary theory, but give you all the glory that's due unto your name. Oh God, help us to give what's rightfully yours. Now we pray you'd bless our refreshments, and our fellowship, and especially the safety and travel of those going home such a long ways. And Lord, please bless their efforts tomorrow to evangelize and the ministry of their churches this Sunday. Help the preachers, the teachers, as they give forth thy word, help them to be faithful to it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, just be seated for a moment. We're going to have those farthest away go downstairs. And we've got pizza for you. And also we have got desserts for you. You'll see a little slips down there that we want you to fill out as you taste some of the desserts. Best tasting, best looking, most creative, vote one.